Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Well, welcome to the Pastor Study, everybody. We get a lot of questions that viewers send in, and now and then on this program, we do a whole half hour just answering your questions. So we're going to do that today. Let's pray before we dig in. Father, now as we talk about some rather heavy-duty discussions, we pray your Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into all truth as you, Lord Jesus, have promised. In your name we pray. Amen. Hit it, Mona.
All right. The first question from a viewer. I have a question about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are they all one God? That's what I believe. I believe God came to earth as Jesus. Am I understanding this properly? I am 91 years old, and what do I say to my Mormon friends who teach that if you are good, you will go to heaven?
Regarding the Trinity, she's right. There's only one God. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three eternal persons, God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. So it sounds like she's got that right.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding Mormonism, I think I would stay far away. It's not a Christian church, even though they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to Mormons who think you're getting to heaven by being good? I say what Jesus said to the rich young ruler, no one is good but mm-hmm. God alone. So if you're thinking you're getting to heaven by your own goodness, uh-uh. Because what we deserve is not heaven. We deserve hell because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
It's only by Christ's atoning work that we are saved. So sounds like she's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, 91. How did we end up with so many different colors of people when Adam and Eve were the first people? How did this happen?
And my response is, I don't know. I don't know a verse in the Bible that tells us how we got the different races.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can have theories, you know, but I don't know anywhere in the scriptures that answer that. So my response is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
I know people that claim to be Christian, but they use the F word a lot. And I have a hard time believing they are Christians. What are your thoughts?
Jesus said, men will render an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they utter.
Mm-hmm.
It says in, is it Philippians or is it Ephesians? Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. So, I got a letter from a policeman. And he says, you know, I love the Lord. I go to church. My family, we love Jesus. But I can't stop cussing.
Hmm.
And so I encouraged him, get a prayer partner, an accountability partner, have somebody pray with you maybe once a week and check up on how you're doing. You know, it does say in the book of James, no man can tame the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this. We need God to tame our tongue. But you need fellowship to help you get that on that road. So can you be a Christian if you swear? Well, as long as you're fighting it,
mm-hmm.
asking for forgiveness, but if you're just swearing and you're living in it, I don't know that you do know the Lord at that point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew a person who had special needs and his mother died. Apparently, he couldn't handle living alone, so he killed himself. Do you think God forgives him because he had special needs?
Or another way to ask it, can you kill yourself and go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And some people say no because, actually, I think my confirmation pastor, when I was 12, taught us, if I remember right, that you can't ask for forgiveness because you've killed yourself. You know, you can't undo it or ask for forgiveness. On the other hand, Mona, it never says suicide is the unforgivable sin. It
mm-hmm.
says the blasphemy of the spirit is. So I think Jesus died for the sin of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But what the pastor said that when I was 12, he was asked, can you go to heaven and if you kill yourself? And he quoted 1 John, now we know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. And he said, so if you murder yourself, you don't have eternal life. I've only had to preach one suicide funeral in my mm-hmm. ministry, and it was hard. And I think if you kill yourself, maybe you do go to hell because you didn't believe in Christ. But I know a pastor who I have a lot of respect for. Here was a Christian woman of his church, mm-hmm. you know, loved the Lord, killed herself. And he preached at her funeral that if God judges us by our last act, a lot of us are going to hell. Mm-hmm. And my salvation does not depend on whether I have enough time to ask for forgiveness, because I don't. Mm-hmm. We'll all die without having asked forgiveness for all our sins. Mm-hmm. My salvation depends on Christ and his atoning work on the cross. So I'm going to say if you're suicidal, don't do it. Get help. Call a pastor or a friend. Talk it out. Don't do it. It is a sin. Mm-hmm. It is certainly a sin. And don't wreck your family by killing yourself. On the other hand, I don't know that it's the unforgivable sin. Christ died for all sins.
Amen.
That's the best I can do. Yeah.
Next question. What do you think of the Key of David TV program?
I don't like it. I looked at it. I've seen it on TV a few times. Somebody wrote that question in. Mm-hmm. It's from the Philadelphia Church of God, which denies the Trinity. So I don't think they're in the Christian church. Hmm. Now, again, they'll say they're Christians, but if you deny the Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you've left the Christian faith. So I don't support the Key of David. I don't support, if you go to a Philadelphia Church of God, find a new church. Yeah.
Okay. Even though I have desire to be obedient and forgive someone and feel that I have forgiven them, I still get angry about what they did when it comes to mind. Does this mean that I really haven't forgiven them? Is it okay to still have emotions about the things they have done as long as I don't wish them ill will?
I think so. I think when I, you know, Mona, let's say you were to snap at me and just say something awful. I would go in prayer and say, Lord, I forgive Mona for what she did as you commanded me, and you also tell me that you give me the grace to do what you command. So not in my power, God, in your power, I forgive Mona. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's say 5 minutes later I'm going, rah, 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 about what you just said. Lord, I forgave her. Now, my feelings haven't caught up to that, and maybe they never will. Maybe you'll never feel warm and fuzzy things about somebody that abused you. Well, that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. In prayer, tell God you forgive them. Ask for help to forgive them. But in prayer, I do that, and then I move on. I mean, Mona, there are people. You know, I was a pastor at Hope Lutheran for 29 years. Mm-hmm. Wonderful church. But there are some people who are dead that I still have to say periodically, Lord, I do forgive that lady. Okay, there you go.
Next question. I wish you would preach more that we are not saved by grace alone. Grace isn't grace without obedient repentance, John 3:36.
And my response is, I have to preach that we're saved by grace alone, because that's what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not because of works, meaning your good works, lest any man should boast. So I'm not going to preach. Some people think we're saved by grace and our good works. Mm-hmm. Well, then you'll never know if you're saved. Because you'll never know if you have enough good works. You don't add anything to grace. You know, that was the problem with the Galatians. They were saying you have to have grace in Christ and get circumcised. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote a whole letter against mm-hmm. that, saying, no, it's only by Christ we're saved. So that's you got to maintain we're saved by grace and not by our good works. It's true. You do need to repent. You can't live a life of impenitent sin. But my good works don't save me. They're the evidence I have been saved. Mm-hmm. And if you're living a life of rampant sin, there's no repentance, you haven't been saved by grace because it's not... I've said it many times on the show. We're saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. Amen. But grace never is alone. It always changes your life.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly.
Yep.
I heard you teach against the rapture, but what about 1 Thessalonians? Will Christians be here to see the Antichrist?
Well, you know, Mona... the rapture, the word rapture appears once in the New Testament, and it means to be caught up.
Yes.
And the way Christians have understood that for 2,000 years is we are on earth until the second coming of Christ. And if you read 1 Thessalonians 4, when are we caught up? When he comes down. So almost all Christians for 2,000 years have believed Christians will be on earth until the second coming. Now, there's this is what I read on the history of it. There was a woman in New England in the early 1800s who had a vision that Christians will be raptured 7 years before the second coming, disappear, go to heaven, and then the Antichrist comes and the tribulation, and then Christ comes down. So there's two second comings, kind of, one for the church and one for the world. I don't see that in Scripture. Now, and boy, do I get letters on this. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that there are sincere Christians, better Christians than me, that believe in the rapture. I just think they're wrong. So that's
and as you said, it's not a salvation issue.
This is not a salvation. And boy, some people write to me almost as if it is. Mm-hmm. In fact, I went to a conference once where a preacher was up there preaching the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And he said, well, if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, maybe you're just not going to be raptured. I thought, sorry, get out of here. That's manipulating people. So anyway.
All right.
Forgive me. Okay, there you go.
I might have unknowingly, not intentionally, believed the Holy Spirit to be a liar. From that moment on, God might have taken him from me. Did I insult the Holy Spirit? Would God take him away? I ask God, but for years I don't get any answers. Could you please pray for me? This is very serious for me.
I think the devil is condemning her. When you confess a sin, Mona, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive. So when you sin, you ask for forgiveness once, and you don't keep bringing it up, because that's saying you don't believe God forgave you. So, first of all, it doesn't sound like the blasphemy of the Spirit is not thinking an evil thought about the Holy Spirit. We can't always control our thoughts. Mm-hmm. The blasphemy of the Spirit is what the Pharisees were doing. They were calling the Holy Spirit the devil. And they had a persistent evil attitude against the Holy Spirit. And so that's what the blasphemy of the Spirit is. I would say to this woman, it's not a thought. And often it's not even a word. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we say things we don't mean. Mm-hmm. The blasphemy of the Spirit is a meaningful rejection of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you, ask God to forgive you, take communion, put it under the blood, forgive yourself, God has, and move on. You don't need to ask God over and over to forgive you. He did it the first time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
I watched YouTube clip of you talking about the unforgivable sin. Twice I have accidentally said the Holy Spirit is the devil. I have begged God for forgiveness more times than I can count. I fear that I am hopeless and am bound for hell when I die. I continue to ask God for forgiveness and am asking God for any hope that he will not send me to hell. Your thoughts.
Again, that's kind of the same thing.
Yes, it is.
And again, somebody said, if you are afraid you committed the unforgivable sin, that is evidence that you haven't. Mm-hmm. Because people who blaspheme the Spirit have this hard-hearted attitude against the Holy Spirit. They don't care if they blaspheme the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I would say to this woman, whatever she said, ask God's forgiveness, trust the blood of Christ that he's paid for this, forgive yourself, and move on. Mm-hmm. Don't keep bringing it up. See, the devil does this to me, too. Mm-hmm. He'll keep bringing up guilt, and I get just...
Me, too.
And, you know, Luther, the way Martin Luther 500 years ago handled this, when the devil would bring up Luther's sins, Luther would say, well, you know, Satan, you're right. I did commit those sins. But let me take you to my Savior. Do you behold the Lamb of God on the cross who takes away the sin of the world? And you take, when the devil condemns you or your conscience condemns you, you take it to the cross and you put it under the blood. Sometimes you take it to another Christian and say, look, I need you to pray for me. For some reason, I'm having trouble believing I'm forgiven. And then let them pronounce the forgiveness of sins to you. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have been a Lutheran my entire life. I love our liturgies and our traditions. 5 years ago, we got a woman pastor. She is not gay, but sermons have become more liberal. My husband and I have been generous supporters of our church in the past, but we have stopped because of our church's support of the ELCA. My problem is I have no other church options in my area, no other synods. I'm sad. I'd love to hear your thoughts as to what I should do.
Uh-huh. Well, the ELCA is the very liberal branch of Lutheranism that we used to be part of till we let ourselves out and joined You can join the Association of Free Lutherans. You can join the Missouri Synod Lutherans. You know, all the other Lutheran branches are pretty biblical. Mm-hmm. It's just the bigger one, the ELCA, that's gone over the cliff. And so what do you do? I think I wrote her back and I said, I heard a pastor say, a good church is worth a long drive.
True.
So if I would, and the other thing is, I'm a Lutheran, but I'd rather go to a Presbyterian church or a Baptist church that's preaching Scripture than to go to a church where they're going to use my offering dollars to pay for abortions or hire a lesbian pastor. So sometimes you can't get everything you want, but I hope and pray she can find an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I have lived a life of sin until I started reading my Bible. For almost 5 years now, I have been celibate. Then I met an old friend at a party, and I fell in love with him. We have been having sex, but my question is, if we live together and don't have sex, will I still not get into heaven?
You know, this was a man who's talking about a man. So
okay.
He's got the homosexual issue going on. And I wrote him back, and I said, I suppose technically, as long as you're in separate bedrooms and you don't have sex, technically okay, but I said I wouldn't. I think that's too much temptation.
Yeah.
And I just would. The Bible says to avoid the very appearance of evil. So I wouldn't. I said you can still be friends, good friends. No hugging and kissing. Mm-hmm. No sleeping in the same bed, even if you're celibate. No sleeping in the same bed. I just think he needs to cut the cords and have the guy move out and just follow the Lord that way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know an older Christian who has served God for many years and has now accepted the fact that women can be ministers. When I quote what Paul said, then he brings up women at the tomb and a few other women that were judges. I am 76 and completely amazed at how God's people can switch their beliefs overnight. Any suggestions on how to respond to this?
Yes. Mona, I've never believed women should preach over adult men. And that's because I think the Bible is rather clear on this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Mm-hmm. So I think women can evangelize all kinds. I think women can teach women, women can teach children, women can share with men. Mm-hmm. But the preacher over the church is to be a male. When Jesus chose 12 disciples, he didn't choose 6 females and 6 males. He chose 12 males to lead his church.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is right. It's amazing how people just kind of throw those scriptures out. Mm-hmm. I know pastors who love the Lord, and they have no problem with women preaching over men. I don't get it. I kind of do. Here's the way that some of the people get. This is what I got at my liberal seminary. Well, when Paul wrote 1 Timothy 2, he was just talking to that culture back then where women were not educated. But today he'd be all for women preachers because we have education. But that's not what he said. Mm-hmm. Let me quote the verse. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man for, and now he gives the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Does he say, for they're not educated? No. Mm-hmm. For it was not the woman who was created first, but the man was created first. It was not the man who fell into deception, but the woman. He talks about the way God made us.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't go to a church with a woman preacher. I'd find a good biblical church. And again, I have friends that are good pastors, but on this one, I think they've got a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 years ago when our granddaughter was 7 years old, she came out as non-binary. Since then, she has wanted us to use the pronouns they and them. And as of this past Monday, wants us to use he, him pronouns. We have tried to dodge using pronouns at all and just simply call her by her name. Her mom is frustrated that we're not complying and had a full-blown argument on Monday, and we were told to leave the house. Do we go along with the lie or risk our relationship with our only grandchild? We feel we're being backed into a corner. We don't know how to respond to this as Christians.
Yep. Well, let me give you the verse from Ephesians. Speak the truth in love.
In love.
You know, you don't speak the truth with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
You speak the truth in love. But you don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I would have to do something like this, and maybe they already did. You know, honey, we love you, but you're a girl. God made you a girl. I can't call you a boy. Mm-hmm. And I hope that doesn't make you hate me. And I love you, and I always will, and I hope we have a relationship. But I can't, before my Lord, lie and tell you that you're something you can't. If you do it lovingly and humbly, nobody can fault you. They may, but they can't legitimately. Mm-hmm. And I think if you lovingly, humbly say that, they might get mad as a hornet and never talk to you again. I've heard stories like that. Mm-hmm. But again, speak the truth in love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is the difference between soul and spirit?
You know, that's a hard one, because body, soul, and spirit, is soul and spirit kind of synonyms, the same thing? Or are, you know, body and soul are two different things? Is soul and spirit two different things? Maybe it is. Some preachers kind of, well, soul means this and spirit means this. I don't know where it's clearly spelled out in the Bible. I think they might be synonyms. But I don't have a clear answer to that one either. So, next.
Next.
Okay.
Mary was born sinless, and you should believe that she, and she has appeared to people all over the world as, like, places like Fatima. Fatima.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, again, this is a Catholic, and I'm a Lutheran, and I don't see anything in the whole Bible that says Mary was born sinless. Jesus was born sinless. Mm-hmm. And so Catholic teaching is, for Jesus to come out sinless, he had to come out of a sinless mother. And so Mary had to be sinless. Well, as my Lutheran confirmation pastor pointed out when I was 12, well, then Mary's mother had to be sinless to produce a sinless Mary. Mm-hmm. And then Mary's mother's mother had to be sinless to produce Mary's mother. And he said, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. No, it doesn't work, because Eve sinned. And so there's nothing in Scripture that says Mary was sinless. We're to honor Mary. She's the mother of the Lord. There's a sense in which she is the mother of God, because Jesus was God. But nothing in Scripture tells me to pray to her or to declare her sinless.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yet she was chosen.
Yes, she was. Yep.
My friend and I were talking about cheap grace. What is that?
Yeah. Cheap grace was kind of coined by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed for opposing Hitler. He was a Lutheran pastor. And in World War II, there were a lot of Lutheran churches in Germany that just went along with Hitler because, hey, we're saved by grace. And cheap grace is, because we're saved by grace and not our good works, I can live like the devil. That's called cheap grace. So when somebody says, well, I'm saved by grace, and then they live in impenitent sin, they're practicing what's called cheap grace. And grace is costly. Cost Christ his life. And so cheap grace doesn't save anybody. Real grace saves us. But cheap grace that I'm going to keep doing what I want, and who cares about God, but I'm saved because I believe in Christ, that's cheap grace.
So are they still saved if they believe in cheap grace and they can sin like the devil?
1 Corinthians 6, do not be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you Corinthians were adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, robbers, right? But you were washed. So I think 1 Corinthians 6, Paul was the champion of the grace of God, that we're saved by grace alone. But he also wrote 1 Corinthians 6, where he teaches, once you're saved by grace, you're not going to be perfect, but it will change your life. If there's no change, you haven't been saved by grace. You might have gotten yourself a definition of cheap grace, but that's not real grace. We're saved by grace alone, but grace always changes our life.
Amen.
Yeah.
I always thought we don't need to fast anymore. Is this true? Was that for the Old Testament Jews?
No, because in the New Testament, Jesus says, disciples, when you fast, do it this way and not that way. So, and in the book of Acts, there was an instance of the early church was fasting, and God spoke to them, make Paul and Barnabas apostles. So in the New Testament, people are fasting. I got to admit, I used to fast a lot more than I do now, and I need to probably get back to it. But fasting is important, and it's not just an Old Testament thing. It's for New Testament Christians.
How do you fast today?
Well, you know, that can differ. I mean, sometimes people... what I used to do more was I would take 24 hours, and I'd drink water in those 24 hours, but I wouldn't eat. And that, you know, really, you have a lot more time on your hands when you're fasting, because I think about food way too much, and when you can't think about it because you're not going to do it, it just kind of does free you up. Mm-hmm. So I think periodic fasting is good. Some people fast 3 or 4 days, but again, see a doctor on more difficult fasts. But that's how people fast, and I remember, Mona, I had a question for God, and so I went like on a maybe 3 or 4 day fast. I've hardly ever done that. And right at the end of that fast, I was talking with a Christian woman who shared something with me that was the answer to my question. It was rather uncanny. So we fast to go after the Lord more heartily, to seek his wisdom, mm-hmm. to just be pure. So fasting is good.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Why does God allow terrible things to happen in the world, like the Holocaust, the world wars, so much unrest, natural disasters?
Well, there's two answers to that. One answer is no one knows, because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now I know in part, then heaven I shall understand fully." Why did God allow the Holocaust? Mm-hmm. He did allow it, or it wouldn't have happened. Why does God allow child abuse? Mm-hmm. And now, this is hard, but why did God allow Joseph to be thrown in the well by his brothers and sold into slavery? Why did Joseph go through that abuse? And at the end, he says, Genesis 50, because he became then the second man to Pharaoh, mm-hmm. he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil. Mm-hmm. God meant it for good, so I could save us all from starvation." So some of this we don't understand. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, sometimes we have disasters because God, sometimes there's a disaster because America or Afghanistan, we need... God needs to get our attention, mm-hmm. so he allows these things to bring us back to the Lord. Boy, America, you know, with all the unrest we're seeing and all mm-hmm. the school shooting, I think it's kind of God saying, okay, you don't want me, you kick me out of schools, you get what you get.
Mm-hmm. So, I do too.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more?
One last question.
I currently attend a PCA, Presbyterian Church. I go there because as a retired history teacher, I like the way they study the Bible. However, I disagree with them on predestination and their interpretation of it. My question is predestination a salvation issue?
Yeah, now the PCA Presbyterian is a good biblical denomination. If you go to PCUSA Presbyterian Church, you want to get out of there mm-hmm. Because they're not, and you want to join a PCA church. All right, so he doesn't quite, I believe in predestination, I think it's biblical, but he doesn't. But should he leave this, is this a salvation issue? It absolutely is not. The Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It doesn't say believe in one particular interpretation of predestination and you will be saved. So I think I'd keep going to that church if I was him. I like the PCA.
Okay.
There you go. Well, everybody, thanks for watching. People tell us they pray for us regularly. Thank you. If you do, pray for us if you think about it. We're on the air nationally now because of people supporting us. So if God would nudge you to support us, we'd love that. And there you go.
Psalms 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Thanks for joining us today. God bless. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.